Welcome to the weekly Christian Torah devotion presented by Bridges for Peace. Bridges for Peace is a Jerusalem-based, Bible-believing Christian organization supporting Israel and building relationships between Christians and Jews worldwide through education and practical deeds expressing God's love and mercy. To learn more about Bridges for Peace, current happenings in Israel, and solid biblical teaching, please visit our website, bridgesforpeace.com. We invite you to join our growing family of Christians who give, go, and pray for Israel. At Bridges for Peace, every day we connect Christians to bless Israel. And now, let's join our teacher for this week's Torah devotion.
Good morning. I am Lenny Allen, Bridges for Peace Regional Director working in the East. It's a delight to be here with you this morning to share with you our Parsha today from the Torah, Bachar. It is Leviticus chapter 25, beginning at verse 1 and going through chapter 26, verse 2. Today, our Parsha is about rest, return, and remember. But I think more importantly, it's about possession and ownership. Parsha Bahar discusses the sabbatical year and the Jubilee year. The Israelites are told that they may sow their fields and prune their vineyards for 6 years, but during the seventh year, the land must be given a complete Sabbath year of rest. During this year, the people can eat what the land happens to produce, but can do nothing extra to have it yield its fruits. During the sabbatical year, all debts are forgiven. Likewise, even the 50th year, which is the Jubilee year, is in which no work can be done in the fields. Also, during the Jubilee year, all Israelites who had been enslaved during the previous 49 years are granted their freedom. During the Jubilee year, any properties purchased during the previous 49 years are to be returned to the descendants of those who were given the land at the time the Israelites originally entered it. And so we read Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 23, "And the land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine." Look at your neighbor and say, "Mine." "For you are strangers and sojourners with me." And then in verse 42, "For they are my servants, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt. They may not give themselves over into slavery." And then our portion today ends with the pronouncement, "You shall not make idols for yourselves or set up for yourselves carved images or pillars or place figured stones in your land to worship upon, for I, the Lord, am your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and venerate my sanctuary, mine, the Lord's." Leviticus 26, 1 and 2. I find it interesting that in Exodus chapter 20, which is the giving of the Ten Commandments, the first three, God is proclaiming, "I am God, and there is no other, therefore you have no other gods before me, and don't make an image of me or anything else that might can become a god, because then, number three, you take my name in vain and make it void and of no value and use of what it really is. And then we come to the fourth commandment, and it says, "Keep my Sabbath days." And the question has to be asked, well, what is the significance of going from the first three, "God is God," to "keep my Sabbath days"? Well, I think that will become evident as we go on in our study today. I do want to say that I am drawing commentary today from Rabbi Marcia J. Picknathan and Rabbi James Jacobson Meisels of My Jewish Learning, whose insights on Bahar I think is very interesting and revealing. Rabbi James Jacobson says in Bahar that we have perhaps the most socially radical element in all of the Torah. the laws of the sabbatical and jubilee years. Paralleling our personal rest and liberation from work every 7 days on Shabbat, we're now commanded every seventh year to cease our productivity, our work, and not only rest for ourselves, but also to allow the land to rest and to return to its natural, primordial, unworked state, of which I would add for rebirthing or a continual production for the people. And then he says, in the Jubilee year, the 50th year, which completes 7 sabbatical cycles, not only is the land allowed to rest and return to its natural unworked state, but society rests as well, returning to its natural primordial state of equality and liberation or freedom. In the Jubilee year, all slaves go free, and every person returns to his ancestral holdings. So what we have here is a radical redistribution. As land ownership was the foundation of economic and political power in ancient Israel, the Torah mandates a radical and equitable redistribution of wealth and power every 50 years. Rest, return, and liberation are then all achieved personally, naturally, and socially through the trinity of Shabbat, sabbatical year, and Jubilee. So the rabbi asks, what is it that allows this return and liberation? What is it that makes possible this radical redistribution? One of the Torah's central insights is the ultimate lack of human authority over personal Shabbat, natural sabbatical year, and social Jubilee entities. All are owned only by God. And so we're told in our portion today that the land must not be sold beyond reclaim, for the land is mine. You are but strangers and residents with me. Similarly, Israelite slaves must be freed in the Jubilee year, for they are my slaves, whom I freed from the land of Egypt. They may not give themselves over to servitude. Land, property, other people, and even one's own self can never truly be controlled by any human, for there is already a divine lien on every object and every person. God ultimately owns them all and has the power, through restricting their sale, purchase, or use, such as commanding rest on the Sabbath, to decide their fate. Even our money is not our own. The radical result of this underlying fact, says Rabbi Jacobson, is that the Jubilee year does not require one to return that which he has acquired. For in fact, he has never truly acquired it, and only acts as a steward over it to the extent that he follows God's laws. So too, a person's obligation to give tzedakah, or charity, is not an obligation to give 10% of her income to those who need it. That 10% was in fact never hers, and she is only entitled to use the remaining 90% of what she earns after she has distributed the requisite 10%. And so this underlying sense of divine ownership is the basis for the biblical vision of responsibility, and transforms our own understanding then of obligation. Our obligation is to give 10%. This is what defines whether we in fact have any more right to that which we think we possess. Now this goes even further. Now this obligation does not only apply to the land of Israel or to other Jews, it extends to every land and every people. Rabbi Rashi, in discussing why the Torah begins with the creation of the world instead of with the first commandment, I am God, argues that it does so in order to make clear that all people on earth and the entire world itself are literally creatures created by God and therefore at God's disposal to do with as God wishes. So when God says, the land is mine and they are my slaves, this is true of every land and every people. And this rejection of ultimate human authority is then global in reach, and the equalizing mandated in our parsha operates not only between family units in Israel, but between social units the world over, between the global north and the global south, and effectively demands a return of the entire world to its primordial equality, says Rabbi Jacobson Meisel. So our challenge then is, as we decide how much to give and how much to contribute, is not to consider how much of what we own we can afford to give up, but rather to ask what we must give to be able to say that we have any entitlement, no matter how limited, to what we in fact possess. Our challenge is to ask this question from the deeper realization that nothing we possess is truly ours. It is all on loan from the divine, which permits our use of it only insofar as we live up to the divine responsibility in that use. Well, Rabbi Marcia Picknathan comments concerning this. She says, in essence, this entire parsha focuses on us countering the erroneous reality that we set up for ourselves or provide for ourselves. We are not God, and we can worship ourselves as idols when we attribute to ourselves power and status in accordance with our wealth and with how many people are under us. Title can become an idol. The end of the parsha gives us pause by posing the true reality. That is, it is God's laws we must ultimately follow, not our own. In the end, it is God's power that is abiding, not ours. His is the power and the glory. And it is to prohibit worshiping our own glory that the rules of the sabbatical and jubilee years exist. Ultimately, we do not really own the land, and we certainly do not own each other. To believe otherwise is to deal in idolatry. We act godly when we till and tend the land and care for those around us, realizing we own none of it. God is God, and we are not. Sabbath, sabbatical year, jubilee, are meant to keep us returning in rest and remembrance that God is creator. His ways are good and for our good, because he provides for all of his creation. He possesses all and has ownership of all, and we can trust him. I think Psalm 24 pretty much says it clearly. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. That concludes our Torah this morning. Blessings to you. May you have a peace and wonderful Shabbat. Stand with me, please, as we conclude, as we always do, by saying and reciting our Shema. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. May you have a peaceful and wonderful Shabbat. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you for sharing this time together with us. If you'd like to receive a copy of the notes from this week's devotion, please send an email to request@bridgesforpeace.com. That's REQUEST, request@bridgesforpeace.com. If you'd like to re-listen to this devotion, share it with others, or listen to past devotions, go to our website, bridgesforpeace.com, click on Education, and then select Torah Devotions. Then click on the U.S. link. Or you can go to the iTunes store on the web and search for Christian Torah Devotions. At Bridges for Peace, we want to be your Israel connection. Please plan to join us again next week as we continue through the Torah. Shabbat Shalom.